Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering, and producing the show on this, the first day of August, Tuesday afternoon, 2017, on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with our worldwide live streaming, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. So if you're around a computer anywhere in the world, you can log in and hear our program. We're going to begin with Terry Bracey, who is our commentator and contributor from the nation's capital. Terry is an expert on D.C. and governmental affairs. He's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey Tucker, Brown and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson. Terry Bracey, how are you? I'm sure you're very happy. I know you follow baseball very closely. Your Washington Nationals are dominating the East.
Well, they are. It's what a fun year. We thought we might have a World Series team, but there are a lot of good teams around. First of all, the Nats have 10 of their best players are on the injured reserve right now, so they're out, and we hope to get most of them back, but it's not clear. And then you look around, and you look at the Central, and you see those Cubbies coming back, and they're going to win the Central. And the Dodgers have constructed what some people are saying is the best baseball team since the 1950s Yankees.
They've
won 70 some games already. They're headed to maybe a 115 game win season, and holy cow, I don't know. But just beyond them in the West, you've got the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, both very good teams, and so they'll probably be the wild card. So that will be the four teams, it looks like, and any one of them could win.
Well, it's fun to follow sports, and almost as fun to follow as what's going on in your city of Washington, D.C. Since we've last talked, lots of things, of course, have happened. It's almost like day to day. There's so much drama. What do you make of the defeat of the health care package and the changes now at the White House?
Well, first, the worst-kept secret in Washington was that Rens Priebus was on his way out. The president never fully trusted him, and he had really hired him under pressure from the GOP establishment. As we pointed out time and again, Priebus had no previous experience in government, and he was trying to learn the toughest job in government on the run, and with a boss who resisted all forms of restraint. So, maybe he's blessed to get out of there. And it's not unusual. You have to look back at other presidents and other administrations. Bill Clinton, for example, his first chief of staff was out within a year. It's a very tough thing to go in there because you get blamed with all the chaotic months that come at the beginning of every administration. So Priebus is well to be out of there, and I'm sure he'll do all right. The real question, I think, is whether the president is going to go along with all this restraint.
Whether he'll go along with now General Kelly, who is running the show at the White House.
Well, he's first rate. The general is an honored member of our military, and as head of the Marine Corps, a very, very tough guy. I do think he will bring discipline to the staff infighting. His biggest problems will be to limit access to the president. Right now, Bill, almost anybody on the senior staff can wander in and out of the Oval Office. It's just amazing. And I think that Kelly will seek to put a stop to that, and we'll see. He probably will also seek to bring some focus and discipline to their congressional agenda. And the question leaves me really wondering how much of this the president will go along with. He announced today he's going to continue with his tweets. So if the president's going to continue tweeting, I don't think that's a good thing for the general.
There was a lot of talk about infrastructure when this administration began. It was pushed aside by healthcare. What is up to the plate as far as an agenda right now at Capitol Hill?
Well, Bill, like you said, instead of a sure winner like infrastructure, the Republican leaders and the Trump economic team have agreed to move ahead right now on their tax plan, which is both to reform the code, needs it badly, and major tax cuts. But in my opinion, this is one tough cookie, not nearly as easy as the president's being told by his advisors.
Why is that, Terry Bracey?
Well, you learn to some degree in the health care debate how important the rules of the House and Senate are and how they can really define a debate. Unfortunately, he's had very little advice in this area. Particularly with taxes, is where real expertise in the legislative process is critical, because there are just a host of challenging rules and procedures that must be followed. If the GOP is going to go it alone again without compromising with the Democrats, they will have to do it under what's known as the reconciliation process to avoid a filibuster. And that first requires that there be passage of a budget, which is currently mired in disputes between the moderates and the conservatives in the House. It's not even out of the House. So that's going to be a tough one. If they're successful at that, most structural reforms of the tax code will be off limits because they do not strictly apply to the budget. So whereas the taxes do, revenue does, reform doesn't. So the reform side isn't going to happen, in my opinion. And finally, the tax cuts themselves will be limited under the so-called Byrd rule in the Senate. And the Byrd rule says that nothing in a reconciliation bill can affect revenues beyond a 10-year window. But so the cuts, according to the estimators here, that I've talked to, the cuts would probably have to be limited to 2 or 3 years so as not to breach the Byrd rule. So, you know, I mean, you could come up with something, but probably it would look more like a 2 or 3 year tax cut without any real reform.
And there's a deadline coming up on the debt limit as well, Terry Bracey.
Well, there is. And that, again, they'll get that done. Because Republicans are now governing, and it's, you know, it's kind of a game played here in town. Whomever is governing has to take a bite out of that apple, and the others pretend like they're against it. It's kind of a silly thing. We have to pay our debts, and we have to be responsible when we're governing, and so they'll figure a way around that.
Quickly running out of time, but this is certainly a very complicated issue that is awaiting the lawmakers in D.C. And do you see a compromise coming with the Democrats?
Well, the Democrats have reached out this week to the Republicans and offered to work this with them, and I think that would be a very smart way to go. I think it would yield a whole lot more for the people. Bill, just one final thought
Sure. Before
I leave. All of us should read the speech Senator McCain gave on his dramatic return to the Senate last week. He talked about the responsibilities of legislators to find compromise in service of their country. He condemned the narrow-minded partisanship of the current congressional leaders, and he excoriated the leaders for writing bills in the dark that affect the health and well-being of so many Americans. And you could just see his historic vote coming that would kill this kind of process that was used in the health bill.
Where do those two senators, Murkowski and Collins, fit in? What's their future?
Well, you know, Bill, in Congress there's always the next day, the next issue, the next vote, you know. So the leaders need those senators. I might tell you what I hear behind the scenes is a Democratic leader, Schumer, is quietly campaigning with those Republicans and others to try to bring him across the aisle because of the Trump presidency. And it would not be an unprecedented event at all.
Terry, we are out of time, but one final thought, because it's in the news today, certainly here in Arizona, about Senator Jeff Flake and the book he has come, you know, I guess it's just been released, and I know it's kind of probably the talk of the Hill as well, some of the things he has said about President Trump. And I'm just wondering how that might translate in the Republican primary, which should be coming up here next year for Senator Flake. Quick thought on that, please.
Well, I admire Senator Flake because he's his own person. He's very much like John McCain in that way. He's not going to be pushed around. And he doesn't mind being unpopular if he thinks he's taking the right position. So, you know, I believe the people of Arizona will respond to that. Now, I don't really understand the Republican Party currently, if it's really controlled by the far right in Arizona, maybe. I wonder, though. But I think he'll have the moderate vote for sure, and I don't know that he won't win his primary.
All right, Terry Bracey, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next month as we begin September with you. Thank you very much, Terry.
Okay, Bill, it's always fun.
Thanks
have
a lot.
Day. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. Great time to visit Green Things because I think gardeners are really looking ahead to the autumn. Had a nice rain. Think about planting now some autumn flowers. I know I'll be checking out Green Things perhaps this weekend. Make a run by there. You can also go to their website, greenthingsaz.com, for all of their free workshops that they have planned just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Wednesday at noon, the monthly showdown. Then we'll talk education with David Safir. He writes in the Range column at TucsonWeekly.com. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, podcasts, and show archive at BuckmasterShow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we like to and are really honored to consult with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how are you?
I am well today, Bill, and so is the market.
Just sort of looking over your shoulder at your little handheld device. Of course, green signals up, red down, and I see a lot of green.
Yeah, we're up about 35 basis points on the Dow and about 25 on the NASDAQ and the S&P. So all the markets are up a little bit. The bonds are not doing badly either. You know, we finally have results now. I think all the results from the second quarter are in. And the GDP growth for the second quarter was up at around 2.6%, which is a lot better than it was in the first quarter. Now, in fairness, we should say that GDP growth in the second quarter traditionally spikes up because of summer employment.
Well, overall, the market has been ignoring what they could have found some things, certainly, to the uncertainty that's been going on with healthcare and
well,
in Washington,
we
but
have
they
so
haven't
much
really reacted.
The market is just shrugging it off.
And just doing its thing.
We're very close to 22,000.
Yeah.
We're very close to historical maximums on forward and backward looking price to earnings ratios. Corporate profits are good, but corporate reinvestment in infrastructure is not good. There's a lot of cash around. There's a lot of retiring of corporate debt and a lot of buying back of stock. So we're not seeing a lot of new growth in manufacturing capacity and retail capacity. The retail business has really taken a beating. So a lot of this growth in the market has been focused in particular areas of the market rather than kind of across the board.
And inflation really doesn't exist.
Hardly at all.
Yeah.
We're not seeing very commensurate increases in wages that you would expect when unemployment is down at 4%, which means that the growth that we're getting is being squeezed out of employees and productivity, and there's only so long you can do that, and then you've kind of squeezed that stone for water as tightly as you can. So a couple of weeks ago, I suggested that I thought we were close to the top. I still think we're there, obviously.
Yeah, in fact, you were advocating parking money on the side.
Yeah, you know, taking money that you get out of dividends and maybe if you want to take some profits and leave it in cash and wait until there's some weakness that you can buy on. I must say that our compliance people at LPL were very upset when I said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I said, wait
till
things
are on. Boy, we didn't want
to
get you in any trouble.
Well, that's okay. I can stand it. But I said, wait till things are on sale.
Uh-huh.
And I should never have said that because
okay.
That implies some inevitability that something is on sale will come back to where it was. And we should never imply that anything is going to come back. History, you know, historical trends notwithstanding, what I should say is that on weakness, if you believe that certain segments of the economy or certain segments of equities or bonds are going to recover, buying on weakness is typically not a bad strategy.
Well, hopefully that will settle down the compliance
people. Yeah, the compliance people will be happy with that. But what's remarkable about this market is its ability to kind of blow off uncertainty and to ignore uncertainty and want to go toward the kind of optimistic outcomes that you and Terry were just discussing that don't look like they're going to happen right now, or if they happen, they're going to happen in a more contained way.
This is the good faith market.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Terry. They're going to find a way with a clean bill to raise the debt limit. But you wonder where they can go with tax reform, say, to lower the taxes on corporations. There is so much money being spent today by lobbyists who say, oh, you know, you can lower the rates here, but don't, you know, take away this tax break or that tax break or the other tax break. You can take away from everybody else, but not our industry. You know, so what instead of getting, a reduction that would be accompanied by some tax reform in the corporate area, what we'll probably get is maybe a minor reduction from 35% today, which nobody pays anyway, down to 25 or 30%. Okay, fine, that'll be fine. And as far as infrastructure is concerned, that would be a good target because that would be places where we can reinvest. All of the recoveries from long recessions in the past have included significant government stimulus. Now, the Fed is backing away from stimulus, so it has to come from somewhere else, and infrastructure is a good place for it to come. And before I run out of time, I would just like to, in today's Tucson, The Star, there's a great article in the business page by Paul Wiseman of the Associated Press, and he's kind of dealing with some of these we're in a recession-free and holding kind of economy, that the straight lines that have been established, or more or less straight, you know, reduction lines that have been established over the past 8 or 9 years are holding, and they're not moving off that kind of slow and steady pace. And this article, which is, you know, five columns and does a nice job of really summarizing what we're seeing in the economy now, notwithstanding what the president says, you know, as he goes into a cabinet meeting, what we're seeing here is, you know, what looks like has staying power because nothing radical is happening. As you know, Bill, I'm a centrist in that respect. You know, take a balanced approach, not too hot, not too cold, not too far right, not too far left. And that's good for markets, but it also seems to be good for the economy in general. And that's where we've been, and that seems to be where we're going.
And that's what you tell investors.
What I tell investors is when you see that kind of policy, that makes it most likely that it's a good time to stay the course. When you start seeing radical approaches to the economy, for instance, as in Kansas, or if we start getting radical tax cuts for the wealthiest, you know, this trickle down stuff, the supply side, that's the time to be cautious.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always good advice here on the Buckmaster Show. So we're headed for, I guess, a new record, 22,000.
Yeah, I think we'll bounce off it a couple of times as we are today.
Just didn't seem possible a year or two ago.
I know.
Maybe
it's just incredible.
5 years ago.
Well, enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I will.
It's a great ride. I'd rather be early than late in making adjustments, and so I'm not apologizing for being a couple of weeks early there.
All right, Shelley Fishman, good way to reach you.
Through the BuckmasterShow.com website.
All Absolutely. Right, and the BuckmasterShow.com website directly links you to Shelley Fishman, who will return your phone call in a very prompt manner. Shelley, I hope you have a great week.
You too.
All right, we'll be right back on Buckmaster.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelly can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shellyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The Community Foundation for Southern Arizona is one of those organizations that flies under the radar screen but has a huge impact on making our community a better place to live in, and hopefully over the next 10 minutes we can shed some light on the many good things they are doing. Certainly they provide the expertise and skilled guidance to help donors give back in ways that are aligned with their charitable and financial goals. Joining me in studio here on the Buckmaster Show, Clint Mabey is with us. Clint is the CFSA president and CEO, and Sandra Nathan, vice president of community investment. Sandra and Clint, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for
Glad
having
to be
us.
Here.
Clint, give us a little overview about a little bit of the background. What's the 30,000 feet look at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona?
You know, Bill, community foundations were now founded over 100 years ago. And basically, it was founded by bankers as a place that could monitor donor intent in perpetuity. They were managing charitable estates, and they said, I have no idea if that nonprofit is doing a good job or not. We need people that know that market. And the easiest, most concise thing I can say is we're investment advisors for philanthropy. Hmm. You have somebody managing your financial investments, but what about your charitable investments? And as we all know, being able to look at organizations and determine which are doing the best job and what you want to do takes a lot of work and people that know that market, and that's what we do.
Sandra, give us kind of an overview of some of the areas that the Community Foundation is involved in.
Oh, happy to, Bill. As a community foundation, we are always concerned about the needs of the community. And our grant making not only reflects the desires of our donors and the areas that they would like to give, but the areas that are of pressing and emerging and critical need within the communities of Southern Arizona. So our community investment committee over the last year and a half or so have been identifying what those core areas are, and they are education, health and well-being, and economic opportunity. So those are the three areas that we hope to focus on more strategically within the foundation and look at ways that we can collaborate with others, engage in our grant making, support work in other ways, and make a deeper impact.
Give us an idea, if you will, Sandra, kind of the portfolio and the type of areas that you are involved in. And I know that it's everything from animal well-being issues to end-of-life issues and a lot of things in between. Give us a little overview there, please.
Well, currently, our grant making is responsive, again, to the needs of the community. So we have been involved in end-of-life care. We are supporting an effort now that has harnessed national attention. We have partnered with the Lavelle Foundation to support nonprofits to expand end-of-life care and end-of-life conversations within low-income communities. And we just announced that recently in the last week or so. We are also involved in animal welfare. I know that you are very familiar with the work that we've done through PAW, our long-time initiative to support
PEMA Animal Welfare Alliance Group.
PEMA Animal, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And the big event that is staged now.
Yes,
I think we've had two of them. The third is coming up, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Next spring. And that's been a huge success. Clint, back to you about this wide variety of areas, like I say, from animal well-being to kind of end-of-life issues. Is the portfolio of these different needs, is this pretty much where you want it to be, or where are you going with it?
You know, first of all, we are here to serve donors, Bill.
Okay.
So a lot of the issues that we get involved in is because a donor has either left us a charitable estate or has a current interest in that field.
So let's say a donor was really, really into animal welfare issues and wanted to make sure that there was going to be a big impact. So you would then take it from there?
That's correct. So it is really sitting down with that donor and talking about what they want their legacy to the community to be. And then what we do is then figure out how then we can best make an impact in the community doing that. We've done that in end of life through the Sharon Kent Endowment that was left to us. And through various individuals with the PEMA Alliance for Animal Welfare. And the great thing about that alliance, it was really the first time the entire animal welfare community had come together to work on issues together. And that's the beauty of the Community Foundation is yes, we work to steward charitable wishes of donors, but we do so to improve the community. And in our role, we play a key convening role in getting the different partners together to be able to do that.
So the end of life issues covers what types of things? That's one area I'd like to touch on, Sandra.
Well, the grants that we have most recently awarded really focus on expanding outreach to low-income communities.
Okay.
We have, for the last several years, we have been involved in making sure that there's a support for a coalition that has been very effective in raising the visibility of end of life care and advanced planning, and we now want to take that to the next level and make sure that there's outreach to those underserved populations. So that is where we are hoping to make the next level of impact. And it really, the work that we're doing through this current grant round is exciting because it's sort of leading the way for the rest of the country, which is a little bit further behind than we are here, just in terms of that level of outreach.
And there's also been a partnership, Clint, maybe with the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona teaming up with your team to increase the impact and resources for arts in the area.
Right. Actually, Roberto Bedoya, the executive director of TPAC, came to me over 4 years ago and said, can we think strategically how we can work together to provide more support for the arts? So based on that initial discussion, we had a lot of meetings between board members to figure out how to best do that. And they have partnered with us as a separate 501c supporting organization under our umbrella. But really, this is for both our organizations. How can we then leverage our combined resources to support the arts?
The Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, are you a hybrid, or do you look to other cities as kind of, are we kind of making it on our own, or how has that been?
You know, I continue to say how wonderful and giving this community is, given the lack of a strong corporate funding base and also these large family foundations that you have in other cities. It's amazing what's done in Tucson. It is such a generous and welcoming community. And it's always, what I am always heartened by is the willingness for everybody to collaborate on these issues together.
I think, and what's happened with the collaboration with the animal groups is an example. I think we probably per capita have more animal welfare groups for every imaginable breed of dog, it seems like. And then there are the cat lovers and the people who want to take care of the feral cats. So I think one of the things that you folks, I'm sure, need to be very proud about, and I'm sure you are, is the way that you were bringing people together in that area.
Yes, Bill, PAW is a great example of our, you know, response to community needs and creating an initiative that has thrived all these years based on that commitment to that core issue, animal welfare.
And you're going ahead then, I assume, already planning for, it will be in April, the big adoption
event? We have the date, April 14th.
April 14th.
Again, free to the public.
This should be, I believe, the third year. Third annual. And this increases in popularity, where people can come out and a variety of these animal welfare groups are all under one roof, and folks can get a chance to really see what's out there.
Well, it's our community's mega adoption event, and it's great to see. We had over 2,000 people come last year. Over 150 animals got adopted.
Wonderful.
And it's just a great place for the community to come that cares about animals and help those animals that need adoption find good homes.
Mm-hmm. So where can people help out if they would like to, perhaps they'd like to meet with you, Sandra?
Well, they can contact the Community Foundation. We have a wonderful website, cfaz.org. I would encourage people to check out our website. And we always welcome the interest of potential donors who would like to work with us to determine their areas of giving, as well as support the strategic initiatives that we have underway.
All right, Clint, final word?
Always good to be on the show.
Thank you.
And, you know, Bill, we're here to serve the community. So as Sandra just said, please contact us. And let us know what's going on in the community. And we're here to serve all those that are working to make Tucson and Southern Arizona a better place.
Clint Mabee, thank you very much. And Sandra Nathan, Vice President of the Community Investment for the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Clint is the CEO, heads up that organization. Thank you both for coming on the program and giving folks a little bit of an idea of what's going on with your fine organization. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Bill. A lot.
Coming up on 12:44 now on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. You know, the rains have come certainly to Southern Arizona, but it's also the case over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, making for a really nice weekend getaway. 3-hour drive over there to Silver City, and it's a vibrant arts community. They've got the downtown Silver City, a very historic area, a variety of galleries. There are very beautiful homes in that area and historic buildings, some great restaurants, great opportunity just to kind of do something different, get away to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Visit southwestnewmexico.org with a full listing of the many great places to stay and the things to do in Silver City. Let's welcome now Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the Buckmaster Show contributor on, we call it our Your Meds segment. We like to welcome Dr. Woosley once a month to the program. He's the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean, founder, and now president emeritus of an organization that has really, really taken on an international profile, but based right here in Tucson, and that is CPATH, the Critical Path Institute. Dr. Woosley's latest creation, doing very well, is called Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit crediblemeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be with you.
Always good to see you. And one of the areas that would be very easy for somebody to check out, if they've been prescribed some of these very commonly prescribed heartburn medicines.
Right. That's something came to my attention this last month because a very prominent journal, the British Medical Journal, published a study that was performed in the RVA system over a five-year period. And these are some of the most commonly taken medicines. They're called proton pump inhibitors. People know them better as the purple pill that we've seen.
Oh, yes.
We see on TV all the time. It's
one of the most popular, probably, medication ads on TV.
It is. And these are now available without prescription. So they're some of the most heavily prescribed medicines, and people have been taking them for several years now, and it's become apparent that there's a hidden problem that just came out in this new study. I mean, it was worried about around 7 or 8 years ago when the FDA put out a warning that these drugs, if you take them more than a couple of weeks, the Nexium, Prilosec, these and there's several others, but these proton pump inhibitors, which are antacids, can actually cause sudden death.
And they were designed for 2 or 3 week use.
Exactly.
Not long-term use.
Not intended for, you take them forever. And a lot of people now that they've been on the market have been taking these for years. And they upset your chemistry. And that's how they work, actually. They make your stomach stop producing acid.
But you need the you need a certain amount of stomach acid, right?
Exactly. You can't digest your food well without it. And you also upset these other elements, chemicals in your body called potassium and magnesium. And we've known that that happened, but we didn't know that if it would cause consequence. And this recent study showed that about there were 25% increased incidence of sudden death. Now, they took other antacids, more commonly taken medicines like Zantac. You know, there's also the liquid antacids, Mylanta and those kind of antacids. So there's lots of options out there. But when they compared the medicines that block acid versus the proton pump inhibitors that block its production, they found that there was a 25% incidence of sudden death that started about 30 days after you started taking these.
The bottom line is,
don't take them for 30 days
You said something there that caught my attention, the big difference between like just taking some Mylanta, either the liquid form or the pill, or one of these, the purple pills, is that one of them shuts down the production of the stomach acid. The other just kind of maybe tones it down a little bit. And that's not the dangerous one, the toning it down. This other shutting it down.
Exactly. There's three ways you can stop the effects of the acid. You can neutralize it, which is what Mylanta and Tums and these things do. And that's very effective for many people. But if that doesn't work, you can block the effect of the acid. That's what some of the safe drugs like Zantac do. Or you can actually stop the body from making acid. And that's the sledgehammer that really is knocking out your chemistry in your body. And that's the one that's been associated with these sudden deaths.
Now,
people shouldn't stop taking medicines because of things I say on the radio.
Of course not.
They should talk to their doctor. But if you've been taking a purple pill-like medicine and a drug that stops the production of acid for more than 3 or 4 weeks, you need to find out if you should stay on it or not.
Well, why bring in the heavy artillery initially? And that might be part of the problem. If you bring in the heavy artillery, where actually one of these just over-the-counter Toms or Melanta, why not start with something like that?
That's what most people recommend. But you see these ads on TV, and people say, well, I'm going to try that. And they don't know that there are these other safer options available.
So why are people then prescribed these this class of drugs known as PPIs?
The
proton pump inhibitors.
Right. The proton pump inhibitors are mostly used for when they're really needed for what's called GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. And that's heartburn. Mm-hmm. It's severe heartburn. And it can be even confused with a heart attack. It's so severe. But it's when the contents of your stomach, the acid contents, back up into your esophagus, the tube that goes to your stomach. And when that happens, that muscle goes into spasm because it's being burned by acid.
Ew.
And that is the pain of heartburn. Mm. And usually that will respond to antacids like Tums and Mylanta, those neutralizing antacids. But if that doesn't work, and if these other safer antacids don't work, the proton pump inhibitors, major bomb.
The neutron bomb
of antacids, right, are effective. So, but you shouldn't take them for more than a couple of weeks.
And how can you – there's something called you had mentioned the blood potassium and magnesium levels, because they could go way down, couldn't they, if you've been on one of these things?
Exactly. Yeah. We know that about a third of people who take these medicines for more than 30 days, those will drop, and that can be very dangerous for your heart. When one of the first symptoms might be leg cramps when your potassium is too low. So if you've been taking these medicines and you develop leg cramps or muscle weakness, you should have those have your doctor check those blood tests of magnesium and potassium. Make sure they're okay, because if they're not okay, your heart is in danger.
Mm. So if someone has been on these, and apparently a lot of people are on these PPIs for a long time, wouldn't it be prudent, and of course, again, talk to your physician, but if you've been on it a long time, maybe the physician, you can come up with a plan to gradually reduce the use of them.
Exactly.
Rather than if you just go kind of cold turkey with this, you could have, what do they call that, the bounce back.
The rebound.
Rebound.
Right.
From, which I understand can be a huge issue with this.
It can indeed. And working with your physician, you can have a holiday off the medicines for a while. And then if you really need them, you can start them back and they'll work again. Or you could replace it with some of these older antacids, the safer ones, like Tums, Mylanta. Those are things that can often work, and you may not have to go back on to the very strong proton pump inhibitors.
And again, this is over-the-counter stuff, so you might want to let your doctor know you're taking these over-the-counter.
Exactly. Anytime you go to your doctor or pharmacist, make sure they have a complete record of everything you're taking. And don't forget, these over-the-counter medicines are medicines.
You know, I mentioned in your introduction the CPATH, Critical Path Institute, really carving out an international profile. When did CPATH start? Was it about 1990-something?
No, it's 2005.
It was 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it seems like just yesterday. Yep. So it's a bit over, let's see, 15, 16, 12 years.
12 years, right.
And a lot has been done in that area, hasn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. They've gone from a few thousand scientists working together to 5,000 or 6,000 working on 15 different projects with the FDA and the drug industry. They they've gone from about 5 employees to 75 employees here in Tucson.
75?
They're having a huge impact on the economy here locally.
Wow.
So, and they're changing the way the FDA and the drug industry develop new medicines, which is how we all benefit. And that's what it was originally for, to speed up the safe and effective development of medicines. When they started, there was no consensus on how to test a new medicine. Now, many new medicines, especially those for Alzheimer's, we know how to test those medicines. Now we need to get the new medicines developed. But we, because of their work, we're understanding the Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease. And the World Health Organization has recently asked them to gather all the data from all their research and store it and learn from it.
Wow. So things doing very well for Critical Path Institute and doing well for Credible Meds. Go to CredibleMeds.org today, and it's real easy to use, user-friendly. Type in the medicine and go from there.
Right. It'll help you use those medicines safely, which is our goal.
Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. Thank you. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
A personal note from all of us here associated with KVOI, our longtime promotions director lost a valiant battle with cancer, Terry Lafferty leaving us yesterday. We're all very sad about that, but happy now that her pain is over, and we'll miss her very much here. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Ray Allen. Ray will be back at 4 o'clock with Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Have a great afternoon and evening.